Jackson Mayor Derek Dobie's winding down his regime. Is you're busy, aren't you?
Keeping busy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we got a lot of, just because I'm not running doesn't mean I'm not working. So,
right.
Got a lot of projects going on in the city and a lot of buckets of projects and policies that I want to see through here before December. So,
yeah, I ran into you on Zoom yesterday.
Oh, yeah, at Lee Hampton's retirement party.
Yeah.
Lee's been a great friend, a great advocate for the community, and someone that I can really rely on. So I was happy to be there yesterday as he transitions into his full-time pastoralship. And I think he's going to hopefully continue to be, and I know he will, continue to be a huge leader and advocate for the city of Jackson and for some of the issues that he's long partnered with the city to address, from racial equity to economic development to the gun violence issue that we're continuing to work to address.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't ask me why I was on this website, but I was reading the Chamber's website and they had a memorandum from Mayor Dobie's on the website on this responsible contractor ordinance for the city. Can you address that? Or why was it on the Chamber's website?
Well, I asked for feedback from the Chamber. One of the things I do when we're going out and looking at different policies, I had an opportunity to sit down with Craig, the president and CEO of the Jackson County Chamber, and talk to him through kind of this policy and what it meant and what we were trying to accomplish with it. And he said that he would go out and solicit some feedback from their membership. And, essentially what the responsible contractor policy is in our purchasing process, you know, just as if you were to have a contractor working on rehabbing your kitchen, you would want to ask them their particular qualifications.
Sure.
A variety of different questions to ensure that that contractor and its subcontractors are going to be qualified, that they're going to, that they have the experience to be able to do the job. So the responsible contractor policy is a way in which the city can better evaluate the bids that are coming in through the purchasing department and, you know, better use our funds to align with our values and the things that we want to accomplish. So, in addition to setting some metrics for evaluating price and kind of the corporate accountability of making sure that, you know, the contractors are actually, paying a fair wage, paying their employees as employees and not just 1099 people, which is already against the law, but a variety of different evaluation criteria for that. We also have some things in there, and it's not required, but it gives council, it kind of formalizes a lot more of those questions and gives council a lot more space to evaluate and differentiate between the bids that come back in instead of just price. But, you know, ask some questions about social equity and how many people from the city and surrounding area, local workers that they employ, how many of those workers are minorities, are women, are people of color, so on and so forth. So it doesn't tie the hands of council to awarding just based on the lowest bid, but it does provide council with a little bit of ability to further evaluate those contracts and hopefully in doing so get some better bids, provide some more competition in the marketplace for government contracts, and hopefully allows us to continue to move the needle on some of the other issues that we want to address in the city around racial and social equity.
So a little wiggle room there, which, you know, that makes sense. Total sense.
Yeah. I think when you're talking to a contractor at your house, we just are in the process of redoing our own kitchen. I feel like as the customer, I should be able to ask, whatever questions I want about the price, the timeline, whether they have experience in completing similar projects, how many people are going to be coming in and out of my house and what are their qualifications? Are they experienced in doing this and that? And, as the customer, whatever I want to ask, I should be able to. And as city council members, we're the fiduciaries for the taxpayer funds and awarding those contracts. So, we in a sense are those customers on behalf of the taxpayers. So we should be able to ask those questions without fear of getting attacked for asking them.
Right.
And, I think we have, there's a large number of contractors and local businesses from heating and cooling businesses, electric businesses, plumbing businesses, those that actually do the work on projects. And this ordinance would only come into effect at projects valued above $50,000. So we're not requiring that for everything, but for a big building and construction project
Sure.
for the city, I think it makes sense to give a little bit more of a magnifying glass to some of those businesses and contracts. And I think that's a good tool that we can use to do so. And then, all of those bids come back in front of council anyways for their consideration and ultimately their vote in awarding those contracts. So I think it's a good policy. We're soliciting some feedback, but it passed at the last council meeting on a 5-2 vote and will be coming up here in July.
So you're making an important, I guess, COVID-related announcement today. Why don't you go ahead and make it?
Well, because of the work that we have done as a community, coming together with businesses, nonprofits, the city and our employees and all the first responders out there, we're starting to see the cases of COVID slow. People are getting vaccinated. We've kind of weathered the storm and practiced social distancing and all done our part. And because of some of the changes also at the state level of lifting some of the restrictions today, we're announcing that I'm lifting the local state of emergency here in the city of Jackson effective tomorrow, July 1st. And, we're excited about kind of taking the next step in that process. What that does mean for the city is that we will be resuming in-person meetings at city council chambers, and as well as all the city boards and commissions are going to be in person. All the capacity limits at City Hall are going to be lifted, and we're going to continue to work with Henry Ford Allegiance Health on two additional vaccine clinics at the MLK Center, one being July 1st on Thursday from 1 to 5, and then next Thursday, July 8th. Vaccines will still be available at, Henry Ford and the other sites, as well as at local pharmacies. But, the in-person traffic at the King Center has slowed, so we're excited. We actually are going to do an announcement here soon about our work at the King Center and what positive impact that partnership has had on the surrounding community. But we're going to be lifting the local state of emergency tomorrow, resuming, getting back a little bit to some degree of normalcy, although some might argue that in-person meetings bring out those that don't necessarily inspire any sense of normalcy, but that's what the People's Theater is for, and
democracy.
Yeah, that's right. So can't have democracy without a little bit of that flavor. But we've done a lot as a city, and we have a lot to be proud of all the different partnerships of working with JCAN, with the millions of pounds of food that we've put out through the Boost Center with just a partnership with Consumers Energy to pass out food boxes at the King Center, the vaccination sites, the different teams that we've put out of first responders to be able to make sure that our residents are protected as well as our city employees. It's just, it's been an incredible year, incredible 430 some odd days of the local state of emergency. And, you know, I got to say, I'm really proud of not only this community, but in particular, the city staff and administration and all the city employees that banded together and, you know, some that put their lives at great risk during the height of the pandemic to continue to keep us safe and keep the wheels of City Hall churning for people. So, you know, it is an incredibly proud moment. And as we lift the local state of emergency, we're still going to continue to work on the different policies and projects that are going to continue to keep us safe and continue to help open up, reinvigorate our local economy, help working families, and continue to have a focus on the most vulnerable among us. And we'll be doing that with some of our American Rescue Plan funds. But that's the exciting announcement that I have for you this morning, Greg.
Yeah. Well, the party down, everybody. No further emergency. Now, you are meeting on the new Tribes building tonight. Is that that's on Zoom, right?
Yeah, it's at the Boo Center. I think it's 6:30. So we'll be talking about that, and we'll be
Is that for public consumption?
Yeah, it's open to the public. So we're going to be talking about the housing instability, what that project could look like as a community project that can be encompassing of some transitional housing as well as some other resources to combat housing instability, the housing instability that we face in the city. Ken Tolt, the United Way, is going to be speaking. I'm going to be speaking. I think he has some other individuals coming in to talk about the need for veterans housing, to talk about the need to talk about a couple of different program models. So I think it'll be an informative meeting. I know there's been a lot of talk and speculation out there about what that means and whether it's going to be another interface shelter or low barrier entry shelter. I don't think that that's the intent. So we want to get out ahead of that and talk about what the vision actually is, solicit some feedback as we continue to work with the United Way and fine tune what that project could look like.
So tomorrow, 11:30 for the ribbon cutting for Betty's Dog Park. I'm sure you'll be there.
I will be there, and I will be accompanying the first dog of Jackson, Sir Wolf, who actually, I gotta say, WKAR got Sir Wolf on audio tape, so he did his first radio interview yesterday. But you missed out, Greg.
That's wrong.
We'll be there tomorrow, 11:30 at Betty's Dog Park at Beach Tree Park, right off of Blackstone there. And you know, again, another exciting project for City of Jackson, for downtown, another amenity that hopefully is going to be able to attract more people to live and work downtown and bring their furry friends to a nice new dog park. It's going to have a small dog area and a large dog area, and we're excited. I drew that design out. We do have some picnic tables that are back ordered now, so they'll be coming. The new picnic tables going into the dog park will look like the brightly colored ones that you see down at Blackman Park. Mm-hmm. So those are currently back ordered. We got some just some wood picnic tables out there now, but so it will continue to develop over time, but you know, we're excited to get it open. It's functional right now, and kudos to the Parks and Recreation Department, the city's Parks and Recreation Commission, and their beautiful chairwoman, my wife, for helping to put this project together and see it through to fruition.
Wow, you got the whole family going at it here.
Yeah, it's the Dobies are loyal public servants to the city of Jackson. So, you know, we love it here, and I think we, as many other families, you know, we want to continue to do what we can to contribute to our city that we love, make it a better place, and find ways to contribute. And, you know, that being said, we do have a lot of different boards and commissions for people to get involved on. We're always looking for more people to engage with us on projects. So if you got a particular passion for something, check out our website and get involved.
Yeah, I saw this on the, in fact, on the Jackson College website. They had a piece on, you had a baseball camp for kids at the MLK Center, and then that was a nice project.
Yeah, it was cool. So, you know, we've actually, as a city, seen a pretty precipitous decline in kids wanting to play baseball. And, you know, as you probably have seen, we've got a lot of different baseball fields spread across the city. It was very popular at one time. We're trying to re-spark some interest in kids getting involved in baseball leagues. So we put together a three-day camp with area coaches and area athletes, mm-hmm. and did that at the King Center. It's, you know, 3 days, and I think it was, I actually called Kelly Hoover, our parks director, accidentally in the midst of it, and you know, she was there in the midst of all these kids. I think it was, I think we posted some pictures. You can see it was really well attended, and hopefully it gets more people engaged in the city's Park and Recreation Department, and we eventually, hopefully in the future, can start some leagues up too.
Yeah, I think you had some players from Jackson College and Jackson High there helping out.
Oh yeah, yep, absolutely. So it's great, and hopefully we'll do more of that in the future too.
So what's the name of the first dog?
Sir Wolf.
Sir Wolf.
Mm-hmm. He is a little black pug. So
okay.
If you see him there tomorrow, be on the lookout. He'll be on a leash for a little while, but I'm sure people will be taking the dogs off the leashes and stuff. And he was there at the groundbreaking. Got so excited. He was the first one to use the dog park for a toilet. So the mayor was sending over picking up poo.
Great. Hey, thanks, Derek.
Thanks, Greg.
Appreciate it. Busy times at the mayor's office.